Are we in compliance with the open meeting law?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. I don't need to vote on that, right?
Nope.
All right, approval of the agenda.
Yeah.
Anybody want to approve it or make any additions?
Oh, Ed Brennan.
And 2 seconds. All right, oops, what's this one?
Did you get Janie on that?
What's that?
Who approved it?
Janice.
Okay.
I have to sign this too.
Yes, you do.
Approval of the minutes.
Can we sign it?
Well, the only thing I saw in there, my name got changed from Lynn Beck to Lynn Beck.
We got a typo there?
That was probably my fault, Jan. I might have. Where is that at, Jan?
On the second page of their renewing my term.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other thing had at the end of the meeting, June 17th for the next meeting.
Oh, I saw. July 15th. So June instead of July. Yeah.
Wow, I changed that too. I remember changing that. Huh, I must not have saved it when I changed it because I remember changing it.
Someone want to make a motion to approve the minutes with the couple of corrections?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Second.
Dave and Carrie. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Passed. Public comments.
Anybody's got some, and then I'll bring it up. I said I do have one, but I was going to see if anybody else had anything else first. Nobody got anything? Okay. I've had a couple public comments, communication. One from Carol at Orchard Manor and one relating to a resident at Orchard Manor. So both actually on the same situation. And it was over our transportation policy, the specialized, the wheelchair transport. He was looking to get his, and actually in terms of this situation, I'm not sure we could have provided transportation anyway because we didn't have drivers available. But he was looking to take his mother out of Orchard Manor on 4th of July for a few hours and wasn't able to do it because we weren't providing transportation given our policy. And he had looked into the Lyft program and they had stated it would cost him about $300 to take her from Lancaster to Bagley. Yeah. So I did follow up with Ashley at Lyft on that to figure out why that would be so high. And did get some insight on that, which I wasn't aware of. They pay their drivers from wherever the driver's home is. So it was probably depending on who he had available. They have to go to, because it was a wheelchair transport, they have to go to Dodgeville to pick up that wheelchair van, then come here, then go there. So that's what he was charging for. And I think they charged like $1.75, $1.85 a mile for that. So we did have some discussion on that with Ashley, because obviously that's pretty cost prohibitive for someone. And I did speak with this gentleman at length. He was very, very nice, but he was just kind of expressing his frustration and asking us to reconsider our policies. And I actually told him that the policies were kind of in flux right now because I'm trying to get language out of the DOT, which they're very reluctant to give me. They don't seem to want to give me a solid answer. I told him that I would be happy to bring it towards the, you know, before the board, because I do think you need to hear those kind of stories like that and understand, you know, what those situations could look like. However, he had literally called like on July 3rd, so the fact that I would have probably had a driver that I could have gotten in touch with on the afternoon of July 3rd would have been, you know, probably, or July 2nd, I guess it was. Probably difficult to do given it was a holiday weekend. But we did talk about that at length. And we did talk about the reasons for that. And he was like, well, you know, I get it. I get that you don't want, you know, the county doesn't need to necessarily be providing transportation. But he said these are instances where, you know, the nursing homes really don't. And this is an instance where I just can't get her. She's a larger person. She needs the wheelchair assistance, and short of buying a different vehicle, he can't provide that to her. So I did tell him, and then I had a conversation with Carol Schwartz as well, who is the department head over at Orchard Manor, about that same need. They provide medical transports, but they do not provide those kind of family outing things. So Bob and I have had a conversation about it as well. And I have been in touch with the DOT. And there was still, the DOT has lots and lots of apparently new people there, because I can't find anybody who can tell me anything and who gets back to me in a very timely manner. So the question I had asked him before when we were doing a specialized was, you know, are we able to do this given the parameters of the grant funding that we receive? I want to make sure that we are doing that. I have found one guy who I feel like I can rely on the best, and his response to me was, if there are no federal or state public transit funds going into the wheelchair van service, then our rules don't apply, which means the rules being that we did need to serve nursing homes and assisted livings. However, if the driver's vehicles, maintenance on the vehicles, administrative costs come out of one account where public and specialized grants are paid from, it might be difficult to ensure that. Well, we do keep our accounts separately, but he said, if you keep them separate in some way and there's no commingling of administrative maintenance costs, then we can consider those services separate and allow just the specialized transport rules to apply to the wheelchair van service. So then he said, well, actually, we have two specialized transit program managers, and he was going to pass that on to them, which is where it all sort of derailed on me again, because they don't seem to be able to tell me anything. They told me they felt the eligibility criteria was fine. However, they wanted more information on how we coordinate with Lyft and things like that, which I sent them, which they have not responded to, even after I have attempted to call them and left them messages. And we do keep the budget separately. You can see that in the funding. However, that being said, we don't charge our admin costs out to specialized typically. So that would be something I needed to talk to Nancy about, because obviously there's some scheduling involved with specialized transportation. However, the transportation coordinator wages have typically come out of bus and taxi, because that's where we get our 85-21 and things like that, and out of county levy. So I would need to be clear with Nancy. But in having this conversation with this gentleman, you know, he's not the only one. I mean, I'm aware that we do have other ones. We've had a couple other requests to reconsider it. So I did tell them that I would bring it before the board. I think in terms of how we're doing things right now, we probably do need to offer it, because there is some commingling, I think, of funds. I think there are some, 85-21 is subsidizing some of those scheduling fees that go into specialized. If we didn't do it, then I think we would have to tack on like a scheduling fee or something to cover Mariah's costs within that program. But my feeling is, if we do it, we do it, you know, on a very limited basis. I think the problem that the transportation committee, when we met, the subcommittee met, was the fact that we had pretty much one nursing facility sort of monopolizing us, literally to the tune of every week. And my concern was and still is that it's a good deal for Orchard Manor probably to use us, and it's probably a good deal for Lancaster Care Center to use us. It's not as good a deal for, you know, Gray's or maybe Golden Living to use us, because they're not as close, and it's going to cost more. So I think it still does lend itself to those nursing homes, but there again, if we sort of limit the on-call stuff, which was what we were doing, and which we would, because we don't have that ability. We don't have a driver sitting in this office that can go out and take those calls. So I know Bob had some feelings on it.
Bob, let's hear your feelings.
Are you going to tell him your feelings, Bob?
Let's hear your feelings, Bob.
Well, part of it is that Orchard Manor and this office are both great county entities. I realize that they can't keep care of it. The country wants to keep care of what it's all about. It's open. I think, like Lori said, we establish policies 48 hours, 72 hours notice. Because we can't make it a week notice because funerals or whatever else,
right.
We got to have a little both ways, but as long as everybody's aware of it up front of the cost, this is Tobago, we would have called the first with the holiday.
I did not.
I think we need to establish those policies so that everybody's aware of it up front. And that's what I told Carol at the Orchard Manor meeting the other day. They were a little upset. And I said, you know, we had a challenge here with our transportation. And we need to get back to square one. Crystal, Lori, and I, we all sat through a main training, and that's the first thing. You got to get back to a standard. You got to have a base. And so until ADRC gets a handle on where their transportation is, square one, we got to stop everything.
And we were, because we were literally going off in all sorts of directions and providing, on a moment's notice.
And it's just the timing factor. I mean, the 4th of July felt right in the middle of all this. It would have been a month down the road, I think everything would have been settled down here and policies would have been established.
I wouldn't have had as big a concern until after I talked to Ashley and the fact that when I first had conversations with him, he didn't tell me how he was charging. So the $300 rate.
What would
have been
the cost
if we had done it?
Yes.
Probably about, I think in the past we had charged him, and I didn't check to see if that billing was right, but in the past he had said we charged him probably about $125, $130.
And he's willing to pay
so almost
that
a 30,
without
yeah.
any...
You literally almost have to do that.
Oh, buy a lift vehicle. I mean, yeah. This lady is in a powered wheelchair. You don't want to have to transport her, so you want to leave her in that. So you need the lift van.
Yeah. I did have a conversation with Ashley. I still think we need to work, and the state wants it, because we have to have a coordination plan with transportation providers who are all in our region. So I did have a conversation with Ashley again about, how can we better coordinate and how can you provide cheaper services out here? Because obviously if we're scaling back a little bit, we need to be able, people need to use your services, but they have to be, able to afford them as well. So I did talk to him about, is there any way that you guys can get a van and leave it out here in Grant County, where, because I know he's got some drivers in Grant County, where at least it would be cheaper for them than if he, say, had a driver in Boscobel or, Fenimore or somebody that would just have to come here versus going to Dodgeville and back and all of that. So he was open to that as well. He did say that he thought that was a good idea, and would consider that. But my feeling is, I do think it's a need. I do understand these people, and if I was in that same position and looking at a $300 cost, that is pretty significant. I'm probably more concerned maybe about people in assisted living where they go to assisted living to remain semi-independent, yet we're going to say, we're not going to provide you transportation now because you're here. Most of them, the nursing homes, from what I can tell, except for maybe this one here in Lancaster, does make arrangements and does arrange to get their medical needs taken care of, but not the family needs, not those activity needs where there might be a funeral, there might be a wedding. So in looking at the policy, I had just put in again, in looking at if we provided two people in nursing homes or assisted living facilities again, we would look at, they would have no access to or limited transportation. They would not require daily or weekly transports, because I just don't think we can get into those. You know, that just ties up too much of our vehicles. And then I did put clients are requested to schedule rides at least 48 to 78, 2 hours in advance. Scheduled rides would be first come, first served, and depend on driver and vehicle availability, because we can't, you know, we've only got a couple vehicles. The likelihood of us being able to provide this on a wide scale is unlikely.
So do you feel adding that would help settle this problem?
I think it would. I think at least we're not saying, no, we don't care if your mother's stuck in the nursing home. I mean, that literally, I mean, he said
that
so.
That was a comment.
He said, so you're saying my mother's going to be a prisoner of Orchard Manor? And I said, no. You know,
no. What did they do when she was at home? Because she must have had that scooter at home, too, and she still would have needed transportation.
I don't know how long she's been in the nursing home. I know he used us last year, he said. And he doesn't use us very often. He said, when I spoke with Carol thought it really only came up probably a handful of times during the year.
And that's a big thing for those people to be able to get out.
Yes. Again, I think we have to, if we utilize it, we have to make sure that, in particular, we're not just letting one nursing home use us all the time and everything goes to them. And I just think that's kind of what was set up. And it was set up. And because she was here, I mean, you know, she would just run over and take somebody. So we don't have that. You know, we don't have, Mariah's not a driver now, so we won't have that. So I am willing to try that out and look at it if you think you want to do that. I mean, I guess.
What do we need here? Just a recommendation?
It's just to revise the specialized transportation policy with just what I read. So, and I didn't pass that around to everybody. I think, given what I can see from DOT, unless we really charge out Mariah's hours to all those individual grants, and we are not doing that to specialize right now, we have to do it. Because of those commingling of funds, that opens it up to public, and I think that we have to do it. Ultimately, like I said, if we separated those, I think we could justify it to DOT, but Chad's response to me, I thought, was the most comprehensive and the one that actually stated, here's where I think you could be off track at, and I feel like he has the most knowledge there. They're all three, like, new within a year, so no one's real comfortable in giving me a definitive answer, which, in working with the DOT, I've never really gotten definitive answers out of them in the past either, so.
How do other counties, like Green County, places?
Green does not work with their nursing home, but there, again, they only have three, and their nursing homes provide transportation. Lafayette County does not work with the one nursing home that they have. But again, they have those arrangements. So, yeah, what I'll tell you straight out is we can have the policy. I don't think there's going to be that many opportunities for us to do it. I mean, it's going to be first come, first serve. That's the only way I can do it. I can't give priority because how am I going to know when a funeral is going to pop up and I've already committed a van to someone else, you know. And with the scheduling, the 40 to 72 hours in advance, and really kind of keeping people in check on that, I think it will eliminate the issues that we had over here. Because that was kind of my concern, was that we were almost an on-call service for them. So,
any further discussion on that?
And I actually have it on the agenda, so you can actually do it. Talk about
we'll jump down
there.
To that at the same time, so we can discuss it now. Let's discuss it now while it's all on our.
So I mean, I guess, you know, I realize we're flip flopping a little on that. Although I think I did point out last month when I threw in the specialized transportation that, you know, we did have some concerns with DOT actually approving it. So
doesn't make a difference what the event is. I mean, we've talked about funerals or weddings.
And I thought about that.
Others,
I left it at, I when I first revised it, I put it in actually just as family activities, family, you know, something outside of that, and non-medical. I would like to pretty much make sure that the nursing homes are meeting the medical. But as with anything, there's always going to be that exception to the rule that we might have to transport somebody, you know. And I think in the one policy I had, I think I just had anything, any exceptions would have to be approved by me so that I would, you know, in case there was that one exception. But what I can't do is really base it on the type of activity, because we don't know. I would probably give some leniency on the 48 hours if it was a death and somebody needed to get somewhere, or somebody was dying and somebody wanted to get to the hospital. I mean, we would probably waive that 48 hour, you know, scheduling in terms of something like that. But
does distance make a difference on it?
I think all of that is really negotiable, and that's why I put, you know, it would depend on driver and vehicle availability. Because yes, we have our vehicles tied up, and if it's a transport to Madison and I only have a window of 3 hours, I'm not going to be able to do that. You know, it's also based on what our drivers are willing to do. They're not all willing to go sit somewhere for 6 to 8 hours on unpaid time, and you know, and no, you can't. And actually, in this case, he was very understanding of that, and he's like, you know, I'm always willing to negotiate. I realize that there's not much to do in Bagley if you're a driver, and so he said, I'm always willing to negotiate. You know, you tell us when you got to bring her back, and we'll work with you on that. So, I mean, I think those would still be the conditions that we would have to say, here's what we could do. We could, you know, our driver could take you, but for an hour, 2 hours at the max, and then come back.
That's what I was going to say. A six hours or 8 hours for some of those people, they can't even handle that.
And we actually, and I actually did that earlier this past year. I know with the funeral we had, we only had a window of time that we had a driver available. And so I said, you know, I said, we can get her to the funeral, but she's really, you know, and I know how they like to stay and visit, but we've really got a driver that's only available for the funeral, and you would have to bring her back after the funeral. So we wouldn't, you know, you would either have to arrange someone else to get her back, and they were, you know, they worked with us on that. I mean,
I guess with distance, what I was thinking, if the wedding was in La Crosse, Milwaukee, or whatever, would they drive in that far just for a wedding for an hour or
something? Yeah, we probably wouldn't. Yeah, I doubt it. And I doubt, in those cases, I think it would probably be so cost prohibitive.
Yes, I
think, you know, that I don't think we would probably do that. And the other thing is I doubt we'd have drivers that would do that. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, I can put local, but you get local and then you get Prairie to Sheen and you get Dubuque and you get those little jaunts over to Darlington or somewhere. And it gets tricky.
Now, if we make a recommendation here and pass it, do you need to bring this back to us once it's formally written, or are you assuming this is formally written?
I can assume this is formally written, and, you know, and we can continue to look at it. I think, you know, Bob and I have had these conversations. We really needed to strip everything away and look at what we were doing and how we were doing it. And because what I don't want to do is just give preference to certain nursing homes. If we're going to do it, we pretty much have to. Our uniqueness here is we've got so many, you know, and it's a large county. So just given that, I don't think we're going to be it for everybody here. So, and the reality of that part of it is we don't probably get that many calls on it. A lot of the calls that we do get probably more so are people that are at home and that have a medical appointment they need to get to, and they need that wheelchair van. So, and those, of course, we all, you know, we try to get those. So,
someone want to make a motion?
My problem is how to word it.
Yeah, that's going to be my question. How do you word
it? You're making just a motion to revise.
Yeah,
What we had, and actually I can have Crystal make a copy. When we had the specialized transportation policy last month, we had ADRC Grant County offer specialized wheelchair transportation for medical and or important business appointments for individuals who meet the following criteria. And then we did elderly, disabled adults, live in their own home, have no access to or limited transportation, not on medical assistance, and do not require daily or weekly transports. Then I added the section ADRC Grant County also offers specialized wheel transportation for individuals in nursing homes or assisted living facilities who meet the following criteria: elderly, disabled adults, have no access to or limited transportation, do not require daily or weekly transports. I had in there four family business activities. I took that back out. So you could put that back in if you wanted. And then just under scheduling, again, because of all these issues, or maybe we had that in there, I don't remember, but I bolded it, so the 40 to 72 hours in advance. And that the scheduled rides would be first come, first served. I just don't think we can prioritize rides. We just can't do that. So. And quite frankly, our priorities, for the most part, would be those medical appointments for people living at home, because we always want to give medical appointments priority if we can. So if the vans are already engaged with those, we won't be able to provide it anyway. I don't think it's probably going to be that many people. The interesting thing is if, you know, we can track it better now. We've been working on a database so that we've got better tracking systems here, and we should be able to see how many people it really affects, you know, by next year.
I was going to say, would we revisit it in 6 months or a year?
We certainly could. I think easily revisit it at the beginning of the year, because I think, you know, we're making ongoing improvements to it, and we really don't know.
You want to put that into the motion. Add that into the motion.
I mean, I'll bring the policy back next month if you want. That's not a problem for me if you want to review it or...
I hear anything?
Well, I'll make a motion to revise the policy as you have read it.
Outlined.
Okay.
Do you want to have me spell out just family activities or family personal activities?
But there might be like a 60th class reunion or something that's very important. I know we did that one time in Orchard.
Yeah, and I think I worded it like family or personal so that you could incorporate some of that. What I'm asking is, do you want me to exclude the medical? There is always, every once in a while, we do have a nursing home requesting, and I know they don't provide the medical. I don't believe they're even providing medical transports out here right now.
But they are responsible.
As far as I know, they are.
That's my understanding, they're responsible.
And like Sandy, you know, Jermaine, she arranges medical transport.
And to me, there, again, my feeling on this is there are medical transport companies. That's what they do.
She contacts them.
Yeah. That's what they do.
Right.
So I kind of feel that, you know. So do you want me to leave it limited to, say, family personal activities? Or do you want me to just leave it and we'll tell people that have a medical appointment that they really need to be going through their nursing home first? I can think of one, I'll tell you right now. she wants her to go to a dentist in Cassville, and they don't provide that.
But that is their responsibility.
I think it is.
Like, I guess the thing of it is if it's not written, it's open to interpretation.
Right.
So if it's written, so be it. So do you want to add that?
Yeah, I want to take out the medical.
Okay. Okay. And that is how I had it written up until this morning when I...
Do I hear a second to that?
Second.
Dave, second. Is there any further discussion? Do we understand?
And I'll put it on the agenda for next month, and you can just review it.
Okay.
So, I mean,
is there a need to have a mileage number? What's one person might consider local... Another one might consider regional.
Do you want to just keep it in Southwest Wisconsin or that kind of...
Need?
Southwest Wisconsin's big enough that I could...
I don't think, personally, I don't think there's a need as long as they understand the cost.
Yeah.
Yes.
If they're willing to pay the cost and it's available.
You know, and if there's a driver that's willing to do it.
Yeah. And I don't
have... You've got it all covered.
Yeah. I don't have probably that many drivers that are...
Okay.
Gonna, you know, I have a few that actually probably would, but
all right.
Okay.
But yeah, again, if they would be willing to cover that cost, I guess, and it literally is, and they would know this ahead of time, it would be the cost, you know, the entire time the driver's just sitting there waiting, we're still charging $15 an hour for it, so.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, any further discussion? Everybody understand the motion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
No.
Well, Mr. Uncoff will be very happy. He actually was just—he was very well spoken and very nice. He just was expressing his frustration, and it—and it's absolutely true. I get it. I really do. So,
does that take care of the bus program with that too?
The bus program is just simply—I just kind of giving you an update of what we're doing there. Again, I am trying to figure out from the DOT what constitutes a charter and what doesn't. I actually sent them three examples. Does this constitute a charter? And they came back with the response that did not answer
your question.
Answer my question. So I am... Yes. So then I started, you know, I've been making phone calls to everybody, what do you do? And I'm finding out everybody is doing charters, what I consider a charter, everywhere. I'm like, okay, we'll just kind of move forward. So I went back to square one, looked at what we had in past grants. So what we've got written into the grants is what we'll do, but we're not going to do really more than that at this point. I really don't want to do the big charters. I don't want to be in the business of providing chartered services to Milwaukee for events. We have some counties that have actually done that. To me, that is a charter. In my mind, that's just very specific. I would like to just sort of leave that open based on the event and our driver availability. But for the most part, we're gonna go back to doing what we used to do, and that's those more social trips. Once a month or every other month, we will do what we consider a social trip, like we do one to the orchards in the fall, you know. And we do charge just a little bit more in that because it's a little bit more distance. I think it's like $4 or $5 instead of the $3.
Up and back?
Yeah.
From there?
Yeah. It's a good deal.
I would say it's a good deal. I would say it's a very good deal.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't want that for one week.
Well, once we get them there, they're encouraged to pay to get back on the bus.
I'm
telling you. You go up there to pick apples.
Pretty reasonable.
Looking for help.
That's pretty reasonable.
It's only a one-time thing. And they
yes,
really,
exactly.
It is probably one of our most popular.
I'm sure.
Because they don't have that opportunity to get there.
Sure,
so, and it's really, you know, right. It's relatively close. So, so we do some of those. We do just some of those little special, what we call a special trip. You know, once in a while we go to Prairie.
So are you saying some of these others, if they wanted to take a bunch to the gambling boat, would do that?
I know they've done it. We've never done it, but I know counties that have.
Yeah.
I know a county that rented their buses out for, like, really quite cheap to go to a Brewer game.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think some of the chartered services would have a little issue
right.
with that
yeah.
because it was very, very reasonable. I think the difference that we have with the other counties is, first of all, the other counties really don't offer as much specialized as we have. So, and then they don't, you know, they don't, a lot of them don't have regular 5-day-a-week bus routes like we do. So my theory is we stay with our regular bus routes, and anything anybody requests after that, we would have to look at. I don't want it interfering with our regular bus routes, and if we can do it and we've got the drivers to do it, we may be able to do it. But it's really going to be, again, just not interfering for the most part. We just don't want to be at these places beck and call, and that's important. But if we could work it out, I think, you know, that's basically in talking. I spoke with Hodan Center and I spoke with SOC, which is Southwest Opportunity Center. And that's essentially what they do with some of theirs. They do somewhat charter theirs out a little bit, but mostly when they're not in use. So I think if we kind of stick with that, and we'll kind of refer to them first and see, you know.
Okay, but, so that'll answer the bus question.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to the advocacy report or activities.
Well, you know the budget was passed because we have somebody running for president now. So the budget was passed, and for the most part, we were considered safe. He did partially veto a couple of things on long-term care, which I'm not sure what the impact on that will be. He partially vetoed the limiting it to, or the putting in the 5 managed care regions. You know about. From what I understand, he's leaving it up to the Department of Health Services then to sort of determine how that will look in terms of the managed care regions, which could open it up to a statewide.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
And we haven't even gotten all the, I've got just a little bit from our advocacy person yesterday on that, and she said she'd send something out by the end of the week more on what the impact of that could look like. Because I had Dave Timmerman calling me yesterday, and I'm like, Dave, I don't even know the impact yet. So, you know, that's really just kind of saying a what-if scenario. And then he partially vetoed, that just flew right out of my head now. You remember what it was?
There's only 104 partial.
Well, I know. I was only trying to remember, too.
You know, that's all done on purpose so that you don't read it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. I read them all, but I couldn't tell you.
None of them impacted ADRC's. It was just in the long-term care IRIS, and like I said, it was things that we don't really know.
It didn't affect IRIS, but
yeah.
The tool that you're talking about were both long-term care.
Yeah.
I felt it was more for continuous or family.
And
it does affect.
Whatever happens, they still, in order to make anything happen, they have to get waivers from, from Medicare.
Defense, right?
Yeah, they got to get waivers in order to even make some of the changes yet, so. I didn't think it was anything real significant, but once I get the stuff from Janet, if there is, I'll let you know. So, if anybody knows anything else, I don't know about the transportation stuff, Bob. How did that turn out? Wasn't there? Okay.
It's very confusing.
Maybe not.
I'll tell you more next Tuesday.
Okay.
MECAs will take a week to sort through it, and then we're going to have a seminar next week.
Yeah, that's what I, well, then that's what my response was to Dave Timmerman. We have people that sort through this stuff. I just don't know the impact on, you know, immediately. I thought the advocates that spend all their time with this budget don't know the impact immediately, so I rely on the experts to tell me what's going on. So.
Okay, how about the ADRC Regional Board meeting? None of the managers were there because they were at something
we
else.
We were at the state meeting.
So I'm trying to remember. I had some stuff written down, but I didn't bring that. Mike, remember anything? Mike's still learning all the
acronyms.
Learning
the acronym.
Oh, good luck with that. I still have some I don't understand. So
the budget, of course, is a big issue. And where to have the next regional meeting.
That's up for grabs, too, isn't
yeah.
it, right now? We
and
don't
I
know.
Think they might. It might be here now, because it was going to be Monroe.
Monroe,
but
and then this was the second place.
Yeah, but I think the Monroe thing was not happening, so I think it might be here, the regional.
The boardroom upstairs is booked from, nine, it's in the morning, it's a couple hours, because Mary called yesterday,
okay.
And I called them,
so
I'm
not
sure.
So it might not be able
I
to.
I guess read your.
Well, we had it
agenda.
Here. We had it in this room the last time they
no,
met here.
No, we had it upstairs.
Did we have it upstairs?
Yeah. If
guess
you want
need,
a crowd in here.
Guess we need more
we can.
Room. All
right.
But I think that was it. It was pretty much, again, the budget. and how it would affect it.
Yeah.
Okay, any further comments on that? All right, the aging plan update.
Okay. Well, we're still working on it. That's why I was in at the state meeting, because I'm learning about the aging. I've never written an aging plan, so I have to learn how to do this. We talked about it last month with the priorities. So they just kind of want me to keep you updated on, like, what the needs are. So we did some surveys, as I told you last month. We did some surveys out to our meal sites, but we also did them with our farmers market programs, because those are typically people that don't always use our services as much or are as familiar, so they're kind of a different base, so we thought we might be able to get some insight out of there. However, pretty much the topics that rose to the surface on needs are about what I figured. They're kind of what I had in Southwest Wisconsin forever. So the surveys basically showed money issues, financial issues, that they're short on money, that they have, you know, financial concerns. The second one was they have, they need services for housework, lawn care, that type of thing. That usually rises to the top as well. Third one was medical concerns. Obviously, they have health concerns. And then fourth was food. They're concerned about food. Food shortages, food, good nutrition, things like that. So, and yet they still don't come to our congregations. Need to push that a little more. As far as, so really that is kind of what, when I've looked at back at past ones, that's kind of what has been in the forefront too. When I looked at the topics in our database that INAs have, we can go back through and look at the number of calls that we've gotten in the past year and kind of what they were related to. So I did that for 2014 as well. And the ones that rose to the top there were obviously long-term care. Lots of people inquire about long-term care. Lots of people that aren't ever going to be eligible for long-term care inquire about it, you know, seeing what's available to them, because they have this notion that they're going to be eligible for it, and it's usually kind of, so we had, actually, that's our biggest. We did over 1,200 calls just on long-term care. However, if you would actually go back and see how many we enrolled, it would be much, 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 much less than that. Another one, probably the two other biggest topics were questions on Medicaid and Medicare, which makes absolute sense. People are confused when they start to retire on all the language associated with Medicare and Medicaid, and why wouldn't they be? Because it doesn't make any sense. Low-income energy assistant, was looked at, medical transportation, our TRIPS program, just inquiring about nursing homes and other available facilities, financial assistance, insurance questions, prevention, and then SSI and disability things. Those were the main topics, the top 10 as far as the needs that we looked at. So we do have to put that in as part of the aging plan, identify what those needs are, and possibly, you know, look at those when we're formulating goals. So the draft plan is due to GWAR, which is the Greater Wisconsin Area on Aging, in September. It requires you to pass it, although now they've kind of come back and said, since they have not given us very much time to complete these, that if we have to send it in before the committee approves it, that's okay too. But we have to have a public hearing once the draft is completed. So my goal
August
is to get it to you in August, to have a public hearing in August, and I want to go on vacation in August. At the end of August. So my goal is to get that to you, get the public hearing in, and get it to GWAR in September. So I think it's doable. I think I can get it done. There's a lot of weekends between here and the next meeting. So.
Any questions on the aging plan?
And if you have any input that you would, if you feel that there's something that, you know, that needs to be a goal, you let me know. We are putting in prevention, you know, doing the diabetes and working with Grant Regional on that. We probably also, I'm thinking one of the goals will be to speak with the other hospitals in Grant County and try to collaborate with them on, you know, having them at least give us some space or work with us on identifying people who might be appropriate for those classes. Dementia is, we have to do something around dementia. We have to do something around advocacy. We have to do something around nutrition. And is there one more? Advocacy, prevention. I don't know.
But you'll address them.
I'll have them all done. They will be according to what we need. And they will be in SMART goal format because they have to be. So.
Well, I just, you know, that's one of the things with that aging plan. Again, it's Grant County, we all know, is age is going up.
It is everywhere, and it's not going down.
No.
People are assuming that there's going to be like a bell curve, and it's just a big, it's just a big mountain for quite some time. So, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely going to put pressure. We don't have, I worry where everyone's going to go. I think there's going to be a lot of people living in homes that maybe shouldn't be. So.
Okay. The addendum to the Grant Regional and UW-Plato food contracts.
This has been on past agendas, and I really did not believe that it needed board approval, but when I look back, it has gotten board approval for several years, so I did stick it on there. I didn't get anything from UW-Platteville, so we're not going to consider them. In their contracts, when they did the bids, they had a clause in the contract that they could increase their food prices based on the away-from-home consumer price index. Whatever it went up, and it went up like 2.7%. So Grant Regional did request that. It's in the contract, and we signed the contract, so I really don't think it needs board approval. But I just wanted you to know that they did request the addendum, so they would be raising those rates at that 2.7%.
But you know,
it
it's
like
interesting, if food prices are going up and people aren't paying it to begin with, why do we increase the prices?
This is not the...
Is this the food?
This is what we pay them, what we pay Grant Regional
for
a meal. Yeah.
But you're not getting any more money from the state. And you're getting less money from the people who eat. My question begins to see the disparity grow.
And I think that will, probably by next year, you may have to look at, you know, what we've tried to not do is raise that donation rate because we don't want to make it more difficult. You can see food is an issue, but yeah. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention since it's been on past agendas. However, UW-Platteville did not get in touch with me about it. And in the past, I believe both agencies were contacted regarding the addendum to see if they wanted to do it. I did not contact them. I feel if they want to do it, they will contact me as part of their contract. I don't feel the need to seek them out to see if they want us to pay more. So I had not heard from UW-Platteville, so I just assumed that the two of them would talk, and we had a meeting that they were going to both be at, so I figured I would have UW-Platteville's by today, but anyway.
Not. Okay.
So we are paying them the original
price
right now.
Any more questions on that? Any discussion there? Okay. We'll go to the financial report.
I want to say we are getting on track with billing very well. Mariah's been really working hard at getting transportation, the back billing all done. I think we're through March and April for sure on all the continuous billing that we do. So you'll start to see more of that trailing in over the next couple of months. She's got to finish up the rest, but they have given us an extension till like the end of August, and actually they said they'd give us more time than that. So that's helpful to get that in, and that will start looking good. We are working on a budget for 2016. I am just starting it. Our health insurance costs are going to be high. I haven't heard that they're not. I didn't hear a lower. So we have some concerns with that. But otherwise, I think we'll be okay.
Now, from a county standpoint, with your health concerns, do the people pay into the program as well?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's an employer share and an employee share.
So that comes up for discussion when?
I don't know how.
Should I not ask that question?
I don't know how that rate is determined, actually. I haven't been here long enough.
Well, it was by union contract, so we just carried those over. We don't have union contracts anymore. We discussed a few incidences yesterday with the executive committee because Joyce is going through all the policies.
But so far, I think those levels are determined at the county board level, right? They're not. I mean, I've never had any
that's determined at the county
put into
level.
That.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I haven't had
just
any
as I see other businesses are asking the people to, you know, chip in more.
Yeah.
Well,
and I think that
that's a discussion, but it's pretty tough to take.
Go anywhere with it, though.
My push right now is that we increase our deductible because we have health reimbursement. Actually, we're at $2,000, $4,000 deductible, but the county pays the first half of that. And then we have an individual that doesn't use their deductible, they can roll over part of it.
Right.
So they get their. And we're doing some studies now to see where we're at with that, because last year, the majority of employees did roll something over. So that means that now they have to pay part of their deductible, because years ago we didn't have any. So now that they're paying their deductible, they have a little skin in the game, they're a little more cautious of how often they use the doctor's services. So we may be able to jump, because it's 12% increase on one company, 15% on another. We may be able to jump that deductible from 2 to 4, from 4 to 8, or something, if we can work the other numbers out of the maximum. So that's where we're working on right now. Try to maintain the cost, because we're tied. I mean, we're in the corner of the state where there's only so many providers, and there's only so many insurance companies, and they're getting less and less because it's 2 or 3 of them going away right now.
Yeah.
Who's going away right now?
Dean.
If you've seen, Dean's been pulling out more and more from.
Well, I know they're pulling back their providers.
Well, but that's what.
Yeah. And we do have employees concerned about that, whether that.
We'll keep with Dean.
Mm-hmm. And I think with Gunderson and Baskerville, you know. Gunderson has typically not been a Dean healthcare agency. They've been keeping it because Baskerville always had Dean, but I know people in Baskerville are concerned about that as well. So, yeah, we are budgeting all of that. That will all be factored in here. So.
Well, I'm sure people are asking.
So. Yeah, I hate health insurance. I've said on health insurance companies over the years, and Bob is absolutely right. There are very few that are competitive out here because the bigger ones just don't have the resources out here, and so they offer these outrageous, you know, premiums that don't even get considered. So you only end up usually with just
two
a couple.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, you really. so it gets to be tricky. So in terms of this financial report and looking at things, I mean, I am going to have Nancy work with me on our transportation budgets a little bit. I want to make sure, since that we had, there were concerns in 2012 and 13, before I came with the audits and the budgets, I want to make sure that we're allocating correctly. So I'm going to have Nancy take a look at that as well, just to make sure that we are doing that right. And then given the light of what DOT is telling me, I want to make sure that we're doing it correctly too. So, and I have more faith in Nancy giving me definitive answers than I do the state, so. Because she probably understands those grants a whole lot better.
Do I have any questions on the financial report? We do have to vote on that.
Yes. At least accept it. If you're so inclined.
Anybody want to make a motion to accept the financial report?
I'll make that one.
Do I hear a second? Jan seconds it. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the vouchers, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The financial report, rather, first. Now we got the vouchers.
Now you got the vouchers. I think most of these expenses are pretty average expenses, mostly our food costs, our trips, drivers, that sort of thing. Some automotive, it's not probably, well, it got split out, I think, between last month and this month. We still have automotive bills coming in because I still have some things that have to have. We have not got the transmission fixed in the silver van. I'm going to have Mariah send that next week to get fixed. So we will still have some major issues. But we do have $11,000 in a fund for repairs and maintenance that we can utilize. So we will probably do that if we need to. But other than that, I don't think, is there anything that you think of that is standard?
Any questions? Any? So the food prices do continue to go up, huh?
Yeah, actually we had to make some changes to our menus because of food prices. Apparently turkey was extremely high.
Chicken and turkey, yep.
The bird flu has arrived,
I guess.
They made some, several of our providers made some switches to the menu because of the prices there. They called us and said they just couldn't do that. So, and we do take a look at those things occasionally. So.
Someone want to make a motion to approve the vouchers?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Jan makes a motion to approve the vouchers. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Dave? Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. No? Passed. All right, the ADRC report.
You do have a nutrition report. We're getting better. I think by January you're going to have nutrition reports that are just, or that we have 100% confidence in. right, Crystal? We just had them implementing the new reporting system last month. They did it for a month in Crystal's work, and so we still have a few glitches and things to work out with it, but I think we'll have a more accurate, I think you found it a little easier. It's both, that's the goal, is to get it streamlined and easier, so which we weren't always having. So we'll be happy with that. So we have been working on that. We have been working on transportation reporting systems. Danica from ADRC came down because I've taxed Nancy enough. So Dana came down and worked with us on transportation billing systems and did us a database so that we can track that better. We have been doing a lot of by-hand tracking for transportation over the years. And I think it's time we join the computer age on that. So we're getting that identified. And like I said, we're getting the billing up to date. So
when I see the average congregate donation from, do I understand it from Boscoville, it was 25 cents?
That would be wrong, I'm going to guess. So we have a glitch there. Where do you see that at? I didn't have a chance to review this yet. That's
April.
Yeah, that's probably not correct. It says April.
And I saw, I mean, it amazed me because Cassville was at $5.90.
I think that's because I had to do April, so I think it never got done.
Yeah, but this wouldn't be.
I mean,
do you have more than one in here?
April,
oh, you
May,
do have April
yeah.
and May. Okay. We would have to... See, that's on our old reporting system. So I'm thinking if you look at the, it's back to 246.
More,
so I think that's a glitch.
Correct.
Yeah, I think the 246 is more accurate.
I was looking at Cassville as being 590.
Cassville, we do have sometimes a higher one there because we do have some people that contribute more. So that one actually could be correct. Eventually, sometimes we have a group that supplies some money, and so it raises it for
okay.
a month.
Okay.
Yeah, I think until we get this new reporting system, and this isn't either one of them. I wasn't thinking about that, but this isn't.
Right. That was just
this isn't either one of them. With the new reporting system, we'll have a better accurate. Those were some of the things that Nancy and Crystal and I had to improve upon for
and
this reporting
system.
That we had concerns with how things were reported. So that was our lean project. So
the real site managers getting used to the reporting.
Well, they've
system?
Only been doing it for a month, so yeah, we just collected it all. They were in here last week, and I would say the majority of them were pretty good with it. We've had a few issues on some things that they thought was actually a longer process, so we're kind of taking a look at that. And you know, there's always revisions in that, but the actual putting in the reporting isn't. I didn't have anybody say it was bad. So we've got a few things we need to refine in how they do the procedure. So we don't want to make it more time consuming for them. And I think a couple of them were just because they thought they had to do more than they really did. So, but so it'll take some time, but I think we'll get there. So like I said, Nancy's great at Excel and understood the process and what we were trying to get, because what we were doing here was everybody kind of had their own little systems in place, and it when everybody's got their own systems, you don't know how anybody's reporting things. So we want it standardized and everybody reporting on the same page. So it's what we're working on. So, and then same with transportation. So if you see under the program reports, there are a few transportation numbers in there, because I am, now that we've got databases and Excel sheets on those, I'm getting some of those numbers, and I'm actually working on them this week for the state. So there's a few under taxi and buses. I don't have them on trips yet, but I will get those to you as soon as I have them. So you'll
we don't see need
some
to do
that.
Anything with that, do we?
No.
Except for
no.
Okay.
No. And actually, I mean, it's been... it's summer. We've had, Emily is back from family leave, so we're fully staffed again. I'm working on just aging plan things. We've done some lean projects. We did Emily and Ruth and Steve worked on the loan closet. We had worked on it a little bit last year, and now we've got it really nice. I mean, we moved it. It's really well organized. We got a great big donation of things from Hardig in Platteville, Fenimore, and Lancaster, maybe? Is there a Hardig in Lancaster?
Yeah.
Gave us a huge donation of canes and walkers and bathroom grab bars and different things that we can get out to people for our loan closets. So very, very nice. So Emily and Ruth went through that, got it all down so that we know what we've got in inventory for the loan closet and how to check that out. and got it all organized. We moved some shelves where we had it, got it all between the little space between Ruth and my office, because Ruth is typically the one who deals with it. So it's very convenient to her, which is also very lean. We're big on the lean right now. So we're doing that. And we are doing a lean project with Part D. I want to look at Part D in terms of customer service. I thought we had some customer service issues last year with lean, or with Part D. So we've started that process. We've got Marcia flowcharting the Part D process, and we've had a meeting. We had one meeting on it, and we're meeting again tomorrow on that to continue that. And eventually my office is going to get lean, but boy, I find other lean projects all the time and it never gets to my office yet. So I'm hoping to have that one of these days to go through that, because I've got files in there that I've never even looked at. So, and I've been here 2 years, so I'm pretty sure I'm not going to look at them. So.
On this farmer's market, someplace I read that a lot of those, after you hand them out, don't get used.
And I did check that. Our rate was about 72%, Leisha said. So it wasn't too bad.
Yeah,
it wasn't too bad. I think, you know, I'm thinking people just forget about them. So we did talk about possibly giving them like a follow-up phone call and saying, you know, don't forget your farmer's markets, or sending them out a postcard that says don't forget your checks. So we may do something like that to see if we can get that rate a little bit higher. But we've got that going till September. So if you know of people that can benefit from that farmer's market, you know, let us know. So we are going to Cassville this month because our Cassville one, we try to hit all the meal sites, and the day that we were supposed to be in Cassville was the day of the big storm. So we did end up shutting down Cassville for a couple of days. We did check with all the meal participants to see if they were okay and in need of food, because we would have gotten them out emergency food pack if necessary, but most of them were fine, or they were all were fine. So we did end up having to shut down because they just didn't have power, and our poor substitute got there just as the storm hit. She just literally was coming into Cassville as that storm hit. She was pretty shook up because she said, you know, there were trees and branches and everything flying. So, and we did have some things here. So we have a weather radio and a weather monitor here now. Emergency management came out and installed that for us. And we've spoke with staff if there is a severe thunderstorm warning or a tornado warning that we know about, we will pull people out into the hallway, not keep them in the waiting room area. So, because we actually had an air conditioner, two of them blew in upstairs. So, we want to make sure that doesn't happen when we've got consumers here. So, and we had three older ladies from Lancaster come out in that storm to get their farmers market coupons. Why would you come out in that storm? So we are making some changes to our, and just making sure that staff understand that even if I'm not here, that if that weather monitor goes off, they need to move people to an interior hallway and get the doors shut. So you guys ended up in the basement, right? You said you ended up in the basement that day. My question was going to be, do you just leave the building open? You don't lock the doors, do you? Okay. That wasn't going to take the time to do that. Okay. Well, I guess in my case, I would see anybody that walked in, but you in the basement wouldn't see anybody. So. Just let the phones ring, right? Okay.
Yeah, you get that kind of stuff going on, you know. I remember as a PT at the hospital, we had that one bad snowstorm. It was awful. Nobody was going. Everything was shut down. And I was the only one that could make it in, because my husband brought me in and said, I'll see you sometime. And honest to gosh, I had people in town come in for therapy. They walked over for therapy. Nothing was moving.
You need physical therapy.
And I'm going, nobody ever dies from not having therapy, really.
Not generally.
No, I mean, the ones in the hospital you were certainly going to treat, but I couldn't believe I had outpatients fall in. So, yeah, sometimes when the weather is bad, they're going to get...
I know, we just left.
They're going to get out, right?
Well, they didn't think it was that bad when they left. for a few minutes now because it's kind of bad out there.
Anybody have any questions on the director's report or the program's report? Is that all of them?
Yeah.
For any questions?
I just want to point out that dementia.
Oh, the dementia training?
Training is going to be August 14th.
Yes, and I do have it on there, I believe.
9:30 in the morning in the coffee boardroom.
Whitney Thompson is our dementia care specialist, and she is providing training to the health department, and they have opened it up to the county as well. So if you're, it's mostly.
They gonna do the virtual tour?
No, I don't believe they are doing the tour at this point. They just did the tour for our staff, though. We just did that on Monday here.
What was the reaction?
I think everyone was very surprised.
Crystal wanted to be done within about 30 seconds of it, so she.
I'm a wanderer, apparently.
You're a what?
I'm a wanderer.
You're a wanderer? It opens your eyes, so.
Yeah.
And then
yes.
These people are.
The virtual tour, Mike, is a simulated experience that makes it feel like what it's like to have dementia. It is. It's very eye-opening. I thought the staff got a lot out of it, so.
We have a tendency maybe to be a little bit more understanding of those people when they
right.
come to your door.
Mm-hmm. They are starting a coalition. I forgot to put that on there, but they are starting a coalition to make Grant County a dementia-friendly community as well. So with Becky DeBurr and Whitney. And then Jeff has some charges to be dementia-friendly, obviously within the health department as well. So we're all kind of collaborating on that together too.
Wonderful.
And you know, we really, you know, Jeff and my conversation was, is we really need to start with our own county. I mean, our own county staff, if we're going to promote dementia friendliness, we should be starting it within our own departments. So.
Okay, hearing no questions on that. Anything else to come before us?
I'll have you an aging plan next month because I got to.
She's out of timeline.
Hearing
nothing? Someone want to make a motion to adjourn?
To adjourn until the 19th of August.
He seconds it. All right. You know what I didn't do? Is her notes going to be fine since Shirley's not here, right?
Yeah.
She's got it all.
Yeah.
Cool. Didn't take me around.
She's
half
got
to
it taped.
All right. We are so adjourned until August 19th.